I understand that the word loving kindness and compassion and mercy are the same Hebrew word that we read in the Old Testament. Sometimes it's translated one way or the other. Translators had to make those decisions, I suppose. And I'm sure they look to the Lord to lead and guide them, many of them. Praise God. But there's wonderful words, loving kindness. The loving kindness of the Lord. It's a very sweet way of expressing his attitude toward us and his dealings with us. Loving kindness. And then compassion. Praise God. The Bible tells us Jesus was filled with compassion and he was moved with compassion. He just, when he saw a need, he had to do something about it. That's the idea. And then mercy. And of course, that's just emphasizes the fact that we don't deserve any of it, but it's all just because of his goodness and his great heart toward us. Praise God. Loving kindness, compassion, and mercy. Praise God. Lord, we want to thank you for your loving kindness today. Jesus, we know, Jesus, that your heart goes out to us, and we know, Lord, that you have a great loving interest in each and every one of us, Lord. And all that concerns us, Lord, concerns you. And Jesus, we're just so happy to belong to you and to have this confidence that carries us through the day, that we belong to Jesus and he belongs to us, and that he loves us with an everlasting love. Praise God. We thank you, Lord. There's no need too small that we can't bring to you, Lord. And Jesus, nor too great that you're not able to help us with. And so, Lord, we want to come to you as we are and just open our hearts, Lord, and we pray that your Holy Spirit will flow into every place in our lives. Lord, every need, and we pray, Jesus, every area will receive your touch and your presence, your blessing. In Jesus' name. We pray, Lord, for those down in the village today and in the cottage as they have their worships. And we thank you for these good reports of the way in which you have been blessing them. We see it in the girls and children as they come down to the beach. There seems to be such a sweet spirit about them. And, Lord, we thank you for that. We thank you that they recognize that there's something here at camp that's very special. And, Lord, perhaps they don't understand it to be your presence, your loving care over this place. But Jesus, we thank you, Lord, that their hearts are opening to you, Lord. And we know that as the days progress, that just like a flower opening up to the sun, we believe that every one of them will open wide to you and receive all that you have for them. If there are some that are struggling with that, Lord, we pray that you will especially minister to them and bring a tenderness into their life. Take away their fears, Lord, and enable them to trust you enough to open their hearts to you. God, those that are burdened with cares at home, we pray, Jesus, that you'll teach them how to cast those cares upon you and make them to know, Lord, that while they're seeking you here, that you're working back home. And Jesus, that you are concerned about their needs and you're able to make wonderful changes if they'll trust you and learned to seek your face. Praise God. We ask it all in your wonderful name. We thank you for it. Praise God. Hallelujah. I've been enjoying our devotional. I've been reading that along with you. And yesterday it talked about the potential, the possibilities when a life is given over to God, what God can do with that life. And we have many testimonies that speak of that. We think of some of the people that God has used in the most marvelous ways, and we look at their backgrounds and where they came from and how they grew up, and you would have never chosen them or picked them for the job that God had, but somehow they found the Lord and then they just gave themselves to God, and then God made use of their lives and glorified himself through them in tremendous ways. And we never know who God is going to use and how he's going to use them. And it doesn't depend upon our abilities or our intellect or any of these natural things, but it depends upon our recognizing that without Him we can do nothing, and putting our full confidence in Him and our full trust in His working in our life. And I like toward the end of that passage, it talked about, you know, who knows why God has put you where He has put you. What He can do in your home if you would give yourself to God and let Him have His way. You know, there are many people that will go back to ungodly homes. And, you know, maybe they were tempted to complain and say, why do I have to live in a home like this? My parents aren't serving the Lord, and they give me a hard time, and so on. But God has put you there, and if you'll just yield yourself to God, there's no telling what He can do through you to bring light into that home and to touch the hearts of those family members. I think of my mother. She was raised in a Catholic home, and she had some aunts that had gotten saved in the Pentecostal church. And so they used to take her to Sunday school, and she found the Lord there and wanted to get baptized, but her Italian Catholic mother was dead against that. It's okay to go to Sunday school with your aunts, but don't change your religion. You're Catholic, you're born Catholic, you'll die Catholic, and if you keep this up, you're going to die Catholic much sooner than you. And so she was a young teenage woman. I think she was about 17 years old at that time. And she knew the Lord wanted her to get baptized, but she didn't want to hurt her mother. And so she was struggling, and then the Lord spoke to her very clearly. And so she snuck out the fire escape. She was living in Manhattan. And that night she snuck out her window, went down the fire escape, and went and got baptized. And when she came home, all her clothes and belongings were in a box in front of the door. She wasn't welcome there anymore. I've heard that story many times. And she had to leave the home, and her aunt took her in for a while. She came up to Pilgrim Camp. The Lord blessed her here. But you know, over the years, my mother has had opportunity to minister to her brothers and sisters. I have had opportunity to minister at their funerals and share the gospel with the family. And we've seen different ones come in. And, you know, she wondered why the Lord let her go through that. But you see, if you're faithful to God and you let God use you, He needs you in that place. God needed Paul and Silas in that prison. There was someone that needed to hear the gospel. And if they weren't willing to suffer and end up in that situation, that opportunity would have been lost. And so, you know, it says maybe you're in your school for that reason, to be a blessing in the class. There's no telling what God can do with you if you'll let Him have His way. And, you know, we look at our school and we say, how can I change the school for God? First of all, I'm shy, and I don't have any thought of how to make an impression here. But just your living for Jesus and your just total surrender to Him carries influence that you're not even aware of. And people will take notice, and sometimes there'll be opportunities that God will bring into your life, and if you'll step into those opportunities and say, Lord, I'm just at your disposal, you know, it's amazing what God can do. And so we're talking about being a servant, and yesterday's devotion had to do with tremendous potential. Whenever you look at a child, we look at all these children in the village and cottage, and we say, what potential for God. If God could get hold of them at that age and lead them in a life of surrender and following Jesus, there's no telling what He can do with it. You know, Billy Graham was a little boy one time that nobody ever dreamed God would use him in the way He did. And there are others, of course. He just comes to mind because we're all familiar with him and thankful for the way in which he's preached the gospel to millions over the years. And then today we heard a little bit, or we read about opportunities, and that we need to recognize that life passes very quickly and that we have opportunities in this life that we will never have when we get to heaven. And that's something to think about. We're so anxious to get to heaven sometimes that we don't think about
the opportunities that God gives us here that we'll never have again. It says you'll never have an opportunity to visit a sick person in heaven and pray for them. You'll never have opportunity to visit someone in prison or whatever, and things of that sort, the fatherless and so on in their sorrow. You'll never have opportunity to minister to them there. That'll all be taken care of, and that'll be all in the past. We'll never have opportunity to witness and to share the gospel with someone and to gather jewels for Jesus' crown. And so Charles Spurgeon, he's impressing upon us the urgency that today we've got to see the opportunities that God gives us and give ourselves to his call. And he talks about how we need to get filled with the grace of God. Thou will soon be where thou can no more give alms to the poor, nor instruct the ignorant, nor visit the fatherless and widow. Thou shall have no opportunities for speaking to men about their souls or winning them for Christ. When once this shadowy life has vanished away, how earnest every worker ought to be to do his work well while he has opportunity. Praise God. Well, if we could go through this life with that in mind. Oh God, here's my opportunity. Help me to be my best for you, Lord. Praise God. I've often thought about my high school days. And I thought, you know, all those kids in high school, I don't see any of them anymore. They were such a part of my life every day. I saw them every day whether I wanted to or not. And then after we graduated high school, we kept in touch a little bit, but people started going in different directions, college and moving away and pursuing careers. And it wasn't very long before I lost touch with just about everybody. I had moved away myself. And I look back and think, my, I didn't realize the opportunity that I had while I was in school to share Christ with people, and I wish I would have done better, because all those people are out of my life now, and I don't know if I'll ever see them again or run into them again. And so you don't realize how quickly these opportunities come and go. And if God can do something to awaken us in our souls and help us to seize them and be our best for God, my, what he would accomplish and what blessing he would bring into our lives. Praise God. Well, time is up, so I can't really get into anything in the Bible other than the truths that we presented. But I thought maybe we could at least read a psalm together then before we go to our day's work. Psalm 1 is a good psalm. Maybe you have it memorized. You can either recite it or we can read it together, but let's just take that into our hearts as we go out into this day. Praise God. Like Brother Eddie says, you got the King James, sing, speak loud. If you got the NIV, softly. Okay, here we go. Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. And he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water, that bringeth forth his fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. The ungodly are not so, but are like the chaff which the wind driveth away. Therefore the ungodly shall not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the congregation of the righteous, nor the Lord knoweth the way of the righteous, but the way of the ungodly shall not perish. Amen.